Alfred Hitchcock film Vertigo was originally released in 1958, 50 years ago. It received mixed reviews, but is now considered to be a masterpiece. Many critics consider it one of the greatest movies ever made. Kim Novak stars in the film with James Stewart. Novak once said that there's a strange déjà vu with Vertigo, felt not just by the people in it, but the people who see it. Wendy Lesser can probably relate. She's an art critic, novelist, and editor, and the founding editor of the arts journal The Three Penny Review. She's seen Vertigo 8 or 9 times over the years, and she's written an essay about her viewings and reviewings of Vertigo. It's called Hitchcock's Vertigo. The essay appears in her book Nothing Remains the Same, Rereading and Remembering. Wendy Lesser read a few excerpts from her essay on Vertigo for us.
I can still, nearly 25 years later, recall in detail the powerful impact of that second viewing. I wasn't expecting it, since my response the first time had been mainly cerebral, but this time I was swept away by feeling. I am tempted to say it was as if I had never seen the movie before, but that is exactly not what it was. I was aware, even at the time, that what I was getting was the benefit of a second viewing. The first time I was too caught up in the suspense, and if that is your primary motive, the end of Vertigo can be a bit disappointing. But once you know how it ends, you are freed to focus on the emotional progression of the film. For the first time, I saw how much the movie was about loss and about second chances, both subjects that I newly and deeply cared about at the age of 24. What had seemed melodramatic and hokey to me before now seemed tragic and true. This was what love was like, I thought, and nothing other than Shakespeare's Antony and Cleopatra had shown it to me so clearly. And what was it I thought I was learning about love from Vertigo? No, that condescending tone is unfair. I was learning, or at the very least confirming what I had begun to suspect. Well, all the usual things that people who have ever had their hearts even mildly broken, almost all of us, that is, have taken from this movie over the years. That you temporarily lose yourself when you lose somebody you love. Not necessarily to death. A simple breakup will do. That, in the effort to recover what you have lost, you go vainly back to the places you have visited with the beloved, looking as much for your former self as for your missing other half. That your next attempt at love will have in it a much greater measure of will. Having been tricked by chance, or luck, or fate, you are less able to relax into its hands the next time around. That, despite this excess of will, your next love affair will follow roughly the same pattern as your last one, because you have not really lost yourself. Your essential character is all too much with you still, preventing you from being other than you have always been. That lovers are selfish and demanding. They wish to remake the beloved in the image of their own desire, and any deviation from that ideal will irk them. That the person you think you love may not be that person at all. That it is easier to be in love with fictional characters, or dreams, or visions, or images, than it is with real, down-to-earth people. That love is mysterious and archaic, with something almost ghostly about it, so that being powerfully in love seems to take you back to some point of origin, back beyond your childhood, to a past you couldn't actually have known. We are soulmates. I seem to have known him forever. These are the banal, colloquial expressions of a feeling that Vertigo, with all its dramatic excess, subtly and skillfully captures. I have seen the movie 4 or 5 times since then, and no viewing has been quite so overwhelming as that second one. Vertigo is, after all, about second chances and second chances only. There is magic in that number, too. But I have never seen it without noticing or feeling something new. It is a movie that never goes dead on me, though granted, I have made sure not to see it too frequently, not to let it fade into an annual cliche like It's a Wonderful Life or Peter Pan. With the exception of one videotape viewing when I was writing about Vertigo in the late 1980s for my second book, I have let the movie come to me on its own schedule, as it did when I first saw it. This most recent time, it happened to be on television, in a beautifully reconstructed print, on a channel with no commercials. My husband noticed it in the daily listings as he was casting about for something for us to watch on TV, and read it out almost jokingly, as if assuming we couldn't possibly watch that again, because we had just seen it together a few years earlier, and before that each of us had seen it many times on our own. The last time we'd seen it, the newly restored print was playing at the Castro Theater in San Francisco, which is one of the few perfectly maintained movie palaces from cinema's glamorous era, a place where it is always a pleasure to see an old film, especially an old film about San Francisco. That time we had taken our son, as part of what we felt was his necessary education. He has since become a cinephile of excessive proportions, as perhaps only adolescents can be, and this time he was out at a movie himself, possibly even his second movie of the day, while we were at home watching Vertigo on TV. All this was in my mind as I sat down to watch it. I was aware, that is, of the way in which the movie marked off certain milestones in my life, so that I was one kind of wife and mother the last time I saw it, a different kind, a later, older kind, this time. And of course, I had not been a wife or a mother at all the first time I saw it, or the second, or even the third. The fear of repetition and the lure of repetition. These are the two poles between which the movie vibrates. Scotty is a man who is doomed to repeat himself, even verbally, it seems. I look up, I look down. I look up, I look down, he says as he is practicing on Midge's stepladder. Or, you're my second chance, Judy, you're my second chance. Randall Jarrell said of the husband in Robert Frost's Home Burial that, quote, if one knew only this man, one would say, man is the animal that repeats, unquote. But in Vertigo, it's not just the one man. The symptom is contagious. Midge, too, begins to repeat. Stupid, 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 she accuses herself as she destroys the grotesque portrait that has angered Scotty. The verbal tic is not just a tic. It is symptomatic of the way people in this movie live their lives. But then, no detail in a Hitchcock movie is just a tic. The pieces all fit together as a perfect, seamless whole, with each element contributing its bit toward the larger picture. Unlike other thriller directors, Hitchcock does not make mistakes. If you go back over the movie once the disguises and tricks have been ripped away, you won't find any unexplained, inexplicable plot elements, any useless or dishonest red herrings. My own ghost, in relation to this movie, my own Carlotta, if you will, is San Francisco. Watching Vertigo this time, I felt more strongly than anything else a pang for that lost city of my youth. Those shots of the city as a whole, in which Coit Tower was the tallest structure on the horizon, that was the San Francisco of my childhood. And even in the days when I first knew the man who is now my husband, and we claimed the entire city as our pleasure haunt and place of refuge, San Francisco was more like its old self than its new one. More like the vision in Hitchcock's movie than the traffic-filled, skyscraper-shaded place it is now. Like Scotty, I am mourning a beloved who never really existed. San Francisco was certainly very beautiful. It still is, compared with most places. But it was never exactly like the city in Vertigo. I don't just mean that Hitchcock has played fast and loose with the street patterns and the views out windows, though he has notoriously done that. I don't even mean that he has made the colors richer and the streets cleaner and the parking easier than they ever were in real life. All movies do that sort of thing. I guess I mean that the San Francisco whose loss I now feel so intensely is not the one I actually walked and drove around in, but the one I came to know and remember through my successive viewings of Vertigo.